The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parasha is Parashas Bo. We're holding now in the Eser Makos, the 10 plagues in the Parshas. And 7 plagues have already been delivered in the last Parsha. Here we're going to speak about the last 3. The last 3 are Arba, locusts, Cheshech, darkness, and Makos Becheres, the smiting of the firstborn. This is what is mentioned in other Parsha, Parsha's Bo. Let's make some observations this evening on those 3. Vayim Hashem al Moshe, Bei el Paroi, ki ani ichbarati es libei veslev avodov. Go to Paroi, because I will harden his heart, and the heart of his servants. Leman shisi oisoisai eile bikirboi. To enable me to give forth my signs and wonders in his midst. Ulaman tesaper boozne vincha ven vincha is ashe is alalti bemitzraim. And in order that you shall tell over to the ears of your sons and your sons' sons how I sported with Egypt, ves ososai ashe samtivom, the signs which I have placed there, vidatim ki ani Hashem, and then they will know that I am, you will know that I am Hashem. They will know that I am Hashem. Vayavo, Moshe v'yarein al Pare. Moshe Naren came to Pare, vayimru elov. They said to him, ke omar Hashem elakeo Ibrim. Thus saith the God of the Hebrews. Ad Mosai me'anto le'ones miponai shalach ami v'abduni. For how long will you refuse to humble yourself, to submit before me, send out my nation that they might serve me? Ki ima ein ato l'shaleach es ami. Because if you will not send out my nation, hineni mevi mocha arbe bigvulecho. Tomorrow I will bring arbe locusts to your boundaries. Within your boundaries, v'chisa es eino horetz, and they will cover the whole appearance of the land. V'lo yuchal lireis es horetz, and you will not be able to see the land. V'achal es es ha'pleita nisheres lachem in aborot, and they will eat whatever is left from the hail. V'achal es kol eitz asameach lachem in asodeh, and they will consume all of the trees which grow and everything that grows in the field. And they will fill up your homes and the homes of all of your servants and all of Egypt. Which your fathers and your grandfathers never saw from the time that they came to this earth. Vayifen vayetze me'im Paray. Turned around and went out from Paray. Vayomru avdei Farei elov. The servants of Paray said to him, Ad mosai yezelon lemekesh. For how long is this person going to be a snare to us? Shalach es ha'anoshim ve'abdu es Hashem elegehem. Send out the people. Let them serve their God. Aterem teidaki of the Mitzrayim. Before you know it, we'll lose Egypt. Vayushav es Moshe ves Aaron el Paray. So they sent to bring Moshe and Aaron back. And Paray said, Vayome aleihem lechu ibdas Hashem elekechem miva miaholchi. If you do go out to serve your God, who and who is going? Vayemem Moshe, binoreinu v'zekeinenu nelech. Our youth and our old people will go. Our sons and our daughters, our sheep and our cattle will go. It's a festival to Hashem, for Hashem to us. Then Parai started to negotiate. He said, all right. He says, you can go. But first he said, bad things will happen to you. But then he said, but lechuna hagvorim, the men should go, bivdas Hashem, because that's who you want. What do you have to take? All of the old people and the young people, the children, and the women. Ki osa atem mevakshim, vaygoresh esam espinei farei, and Moshe refused to negotiate, so he chased them out from before Paray. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, bring Yom HaShem al Moshe neteyotcha al Eretz Mitzrayim ba'arbe. Stretch out your hand over Egypt with the locusts. And then the locusts will come and they will do everything which we have said. The moral in asks two questions on this. Firstly, why here does it say that Hashem said, I will harden his heart, I will bring on him more signs, and I will harden his heart in order that you should be able to tell over to your sons and your sons' sons how I sported with Egypt? Why is that said here, by this marker? This is the first time where we spoke about, in order that you should be able, in order that you should be able to tell over to your sons and your grandchildren, how I sported with Paray. This is the first time that this is mentioned by any of the Esser Makos. Why here? A second question is, by this marker, it does not say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. By all of the other makers, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to bring such and such a marker, such and such a plague. Here it doesn't say that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu merely said, Leman tesaper, I'm going to harden his heart so I can bring more wonders, in order that you shall tell, you'll be able to tell over to your children and grandchildren all of my wonders and what I did to Paray. Then it states that Moshe and Aaron came to Paray, and they said, Kei Omar Hashem. This is what Hashem said, that if you do not send out my people, I will bring the locusts to your boundaries. But where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe this? Now this question the Medrash asks, the Medrash Rabbah here. And the Medrash Rabbah states that the remes was when he said, Leman tesaper, I will bring signs, I will bring wonders, in order that they should be able to tell, in order that you should be able to tell over to your children and grandchildren. From there, Moshe understood it will be the marker of Arba, the plague of locusts. Now the question is why? The Moral explains as follows. He said in all of the 10 plagues, there were 3 types. One type were plagues which were plaim gemurim, total wonders. For example, that the river should turn into blood. This never happens before, it never happened before, never happened afterwards. Svadeya, that the frogs should come out of the river and fill up the whole land. Kinim, that lice should come out of the earth and fill up the whole land. Orev, kol minei chayes ros, every possible type of wild creature, all came together and overran the land. Those 4 were plaim gemurim, they were total wonders. They never happened before that, and they never happened after that. by such things, it's not usual that people will always talk about it, because it's like a freak incident, and it'll be forgotten. So that's that sug. That's that section. Now there was a second section. Plagues, which are actually not wondrous. They happen from time to time. For example, Devar. All of the animals caught disease in the land. We have that. We have when disease spreads rampant between all of the animals in the land. You have a bird flu. You have a hoof and mouth disease. This happens. Shechin was boils. An epidemic went through the land. We've had great epidemics in the world. We had the great flu epidemic. Epidemics of typhoid, of cholera. You have an epidemic of AIDS. Borod. Borod was hail. It was hail that was totally unusual. But that always happens. Also, these are what one would call natural disasters. We've seen the flood. We just had all kind of floods in America. We had a tsunami. So the other type of plague that came were plagues that were more of a, they weren't common occurrences, but they've happened. All right, maybe this was more severe, but it's happened. They happened before. They happen afterwards. And this is something that you could say is kach minogei shel olam. This is the way of the world. Just like whenever there's a drought, so the kafirim, the atheists, come up with the farmer's almanac. And they say, no, it has to happen every few cycles. In fact, it's with floods, they were saying that. That every few cycles there'll be floods. So here also it's not the case where people will talk about it and they will tell their children and grandchildren forever about it. The arba, this particular marker of the locust, was in between. It was something that you cannot say that never happened, like the river turned into blood or all the frogs came out of the river. You can't say it never happened, so it was a freak incident. Because locusts do happen. And locusts have occurred before and after. But that locusts should come at such a degree, which the Torah testifies that this is a type of arba that you or your fathers or grandfathers never saw since you came on earth. And it consumed a whole land. So it wasn't different from natural disasters in the fact that it happened, but in the degree and the quantity. That's something that people will talk about all of the time. Because when such a thing happens from time to time, it will remind them of it. And they'll come say, but this was not like what took place in Egypt. So therefore, and this one was possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to bring something, leman tesaper be'ozne bincho u'mnei bincho, in order that people, you will tell your children and grandchildren forever. And when he told Moshe that, Moshe understood that this was the Makas Arba, the locust. Now, we have another question the Mara asks. The Abodim, the servants of Pare, said, Ad Mosai, why are you tolerating this person so long? Give him what he wants. Send the people out. Before you know it, there won't be any Egypt left. Why here? all of a sudden. Till now, they never said that. They never suggested, give him what he wants, send the people out. And even Parai started to negotiate. He says, all right, if I do let you go, who's going? And he started to negotiate. And we see from here on in the last three Makkahs, every time Parai was willing to go and negotiate more. Here he said, okay, let the men go, but not the rest. Moshe said, no. After the next Makkah, he says, all right, okay, you can all go. But you don't have to take all your cattle and sheep. And Moshe said, no, we don't know what we'll need. And then after the next one, Makkah's Becheres, he says, go, whatever you wanted, go. Why all of a sudden here, in the last three? And that, the Maral says, is these last three were to a different league than the first seven. In Parshas Bechukaisai, in the Techocha, that's by Yikro Chobov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yosafti le'yasre eschem sheva al chateisechem. I will rebuke you seven times if you will not listen to me. Then he repeats, if you continue to go away from me and not to listen, I will rebuke you another seven times. It seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rebuke in units of seven. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishoyim, the evil ones, in units of seven. And the first seven, each one is more, but it's still at one level. After that, it's a new level. Now, till now, we had seven plagues. Now we're going on to a new level. Why were these last three a new level? These last three were all considered the degree of mobis, of death. By all three, it uses either the word death, or cheshech, or darkness. By here, by the arbe, it states, Pare said, when he after the arbe came, Pare called in Moshe and Aaron. And he said, says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, remove from me this mavis, this death. Pare called it a death. And the word cheshech is also used here, because it states that it'll cover up the whole appearance of the land. And then when actually it was brought, it states in Posuk, Tezvov, Ve'chases ein kol oretz, Vatech shacha oretz. It covered the eye of the land and brought darkness to the land. And Choshech, darkness, Choshech is a synonym for death. Why do we say that? In Eicha, we read, "B'machshachim eshivani kemeise olam," that we were forced to sit in darkness, like meise olam, like the dead of the earth that dwell in darkness. So that was this makkah. The next makkah was Choshech Mamash, was the plague of darkness. And the next makkah, Umeis kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that every firstborn will die. So these three were a different league, and they already were coming to the equivalent of death of the Odom. each one slowly getting to actually what actually killed the person directly with the Makas Beheiris. And therefore, this they had trouble resisting. And that's why the Avodim, the Abdi Pare, started to say, for how long will he be an obstacle to us? Let him go already. And that's why Pare started to negotiate. In the Makas Choshech, which is a little further, this is on Pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayim Hashem al Moshe, netei yodcho al ha-shamayim. Hashem said to Moshe, stretch your hand up to the heavens, v'chayshech al Eretz Mitzrayim, and let there be darkness in Eretz Mitzrayim, v'yomesh chayshech, and let there be darkness, v'yomesh choshech. Now, the word v'yomesh, we'll see what that means in a minute. Moshe has stretched his hand onto the heavens. And there was darkness in all of Eretz Mitzrayim 3 days. Now here notice it states, first it said Choshech, and now it says Choshech Hafeilo. Choshech Hafeilo means not only darkness, but a very, very heavy, thick darkness. Leirau ish es ochi velekomu ish mitachtav. No person was able to see his friend. Velekomu ish mitachtav shleishish yomim, and then for 3 days, no person was able even to stand up. Velechol b'nei Yisrael hoyar b'meishvaysam, but to all b'nei Yisrael, there was light in all of their dwellings. Rashi brings, what does the word v'yomesh cheshech mean? V'yomesh cheshech comes from the word mimashesh, where actually you could touch the cheshech, the darkness. It had body to it. And this is why it states that no one could even stand up. But it states twice in the Pasuk. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the darkness shleishis yomim, leirau ish, nobody could see each other. Then it states again, v'leikomu ish mitachtov shleishis yomim, and nobody could even stand up for 3 days. The Medrash says, the Medrash Rabbah, it explains, Mahu Acheshech Hafeilo, Omar Rabadimi de Min Haifa, Rabadimi from Haifa said, Eise Cheshech Kofel or Makufel Hoya. It was thick, double, triple. There's one opinion in the Medrash that says that it was Avok Dinar. It had the thickness of a dinar. A dinar is a large coin. Rabbi Seinu Omru. So the rabbis explain, Zayin Yomim Shel Cheshech Hoyu. There actually was 7 days, even though it's mentioned only 3 days, but it says 3 days twice in the Pesukim. So that's six. And then there's going to be another day. So there were 7 days of darkness. Ketzad. For example, Gimel Yomim Rishenim Mishu Hayu Yeshivu Bikesh Lamei Remed. For the first 3 days, someone who was sitting and wanted to stand up, he could. Ve'emed Bikesh Leishiv Yeshiv. And someone who was standing up and wanted to sit down, he could also. Ve'ila Yomim Nema V'yicheshech Hafeila B'chal Eretz Mitzrayim Shleishish Yomim Leirau Ish Esochiv. Here it's, and there it says that there was cheshik for 3 days, and one person couldn't see the next. Gimel yomim acherim, the next 3 days, misho yeshiv lo yochal amid. Someone who was sitting down couldn't stand up. Bahaymed en yochal yeshiv, and someone who was standing up couldn't sit down. Umisho yorov utzein yochal iskeif, and someone who happened to be bent over couldn't stand straight for 3 days. And on that it says, "Belekomu ish mitacht of shleisha shomim." No one could stand up for 3 days. So actually, it was 6 days. So why do we say seven? And also, it must be seven because every makah, every plague, lasted for 7 days. No. So the medrash says, "Harei vav yomim shel cheshech." Where's the zayin? Where's the seventh? That's the darkness which took place on the sea, on the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, the splitting of the sea, when it states Vayonin Vacheshik Vayores Alaila, when Mitzrayim started to chase Klal Yisrael, and they caught them at the shores, and then they started to chase them into the sea split, there was Cheshik, darkness and light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made light for Klal Yisrael, and he made darkness for the Egyptians. Kachoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheleach Onan V'Cheshech U'machshik LeMitzrayim U'meir LeYisrael K'shem Shos LeMitzrayim. This is the same he did in Egypt. Because in Egypt there was light and darkness. There was darkness for Egyptians. And it says Vayi Or B'chol Meishvei Sechem. And there was, and then there was light for Klal Yisrael. So this was a continuation, B'chom B'eshveshom. This was a continuation of the Makas Cheshech on that day in the sea. And it states, V'chein losid lovei. And that's how it will be when losid lovei, in time to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring light for us and darkness for our enemies. And that's what David HaMelech said, Hashem Ori V'Yishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings me light. Now, the Medrash asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Cheshech? The Medrash gives two reasons. And the reasons are, the Maral brings, we gave a series of shurim on this a few years ago, on the 10 makas, where the Maral explains there are many reasons in each makah, and we need them all. But here the Medrash gives two reasons, where it states, Cheshech lama hevi aleihan, yizborek shemei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'in lefonav masu ponim, v'cheke leiv v'beichen kloyis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deen, his mishpat, is exact. Lefi sho yaposhim b'Yisrael shohaya lehen patronin min ha-mitzrim. There were many Hebrews in Egypt that became nobility because they worked and collaborated with the Egyptians against them. Brethren. And they became wealthy through this. V'hoyah lehen shom eshev kovet. V'lohoyah reitzim lotzeis. They didn't want to leave. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a problem. He's certainly going to exact punishment from them. But at the same time, imave alehen makad b'faresya. If I will kill them publicly, Yamusu Yemra Mitzrim Kishem Shova Alenu Kach Ovar Alehen. The Egyptians will say that whatever is happening to us is happening to the Hebrews also. So it's not just their God that's doing this. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want. The Fichach Hevi Al Mitzrim Asachesh Gimel Yomim Kadesh Yakobrin Mesehen Lo Yerein Eson Sonehen Yomeshapkin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kach. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the darkness, and during those days of darkness, all of these Hebrews died, and this was a tremendous amount. We also gave a share on this one time, I believe it was for Pesach. There was a tremendous amount. Yes. One interpretation is four-fifths, that 80% remained. Some say even more. But during that time, they died, and the other Jews buried them, and this was all done in the darkness, and the Egyptians never knew of it. Then, there's another interpretation of why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Cheshech, the darkness, on the people. And that is, I just want to find it here. Yeah. This is all in the Medrash in Perek Yud Daled. Ubigimel Yimei Afeila. During the 3 days of the Afeila, of the darkness, Nosna Kodesh Baruch Hu Chena Am Be'enei Mitzrayim V'yishilu. It was during, for that, because of what took place during the 3 days of the darkness, this is why it says later, when the people went out of Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they must borrow as much as they can from the Egyptians and take it out with them, because I promised Avraham not only I would afflict them, but when they would go out to the Chush Gadol with great wealth. So they have to take out the wealth of Egypt with them. And it states that the people gave them anything they wanted, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the chen, he gave the Hebrews a good eye in the eyes of the Egyptians. Now why? Where did they get that good eye from? That they got from the 3 days of darkness. Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu chenam b'nei Mitzrayim v'yishilum. Shoho Yisrael nichnal zaseich batein shel Mitzrayim. During the 3 days of darkness, Israel went into the homes of the Egyptians. V'yirein behem kli kesev v'kleizov. And they would see there the silver and the golden vessels with small lace and all of the fancy garments that they had, the wealthy garments. The garments in those days were very, very wealthy. They used to ornament them with precious stones. If, later on, when they came to ask for it, the Egyptians would say, we don't have anything to give you, they would say, you do, we saw it in this place, we saw it in that place, we saw everything you have. It seems that they were being Ganev the Das. They were deceiving the Egyptians by asking to borrow what they had, assuming that it would be brought back to them. Because the whole story here is where Moshe keeps coming to Paro and saying, let my people go out for 3 days and then we will come back. Now why? We mentioned why a few weeks ago, but it'll come up again in this year. Now the people, the Egyptians, were worried. If we give them, they're going away for 3 days, but if we give them everything that we have, everything that's wealthy, that's precious, how do we know they will bring it back? So they said, we can trust them. Because if they wanted to steal from us, they would have stolen it during the 3 days of darkness. There they came into all of the homes. and light went with them wherever they went, and they could see exactly all of the precious stones and the precious clothing and vessels that the Egyptians had. So the Egyptians said that we can trust them, because if they wanted to steal, they would have stolen already. And therefore they gave them the Ein Yafeh. They gave them very generously. So they gave to them. In order to fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Abraham, they will go out with a great wealth. And this is what it states, that to all of Klal Yisrael they had light in their dwelling places. Should have said in Goshen, where they were. No. Goshen lay nemar. But b'meishveisom, wherever they were, kol mokom, shohayudi nichnas hayor nichnas u'meir lay, wherever they went, light went with them. And they could see exactly what were in the cupboards of the Egyptians, and what were in the chests of the Egyptians, and even what were in their hiding places. And this is what David HaMelech said, ne'er l'ragli dvorecho, your word is a candle to my feet. It leads me, v'or l'nisivosi, a light, it lights up my path. From here we see something interesting, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a makkah, he can bring a makkah on his enemies, a great disaster on his enemies. This disaster can be twofold. That from one aspect, it's ralesenim, it's bad for the enemy, but at the same time, it's a brocha for Klal Yisrael, it's a brocha for those who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to protect. Because this cheshech served both as a disaster for the Egyptians. They couldn't see for 6 days, they couldn't move for 3 days. But at the same time, it was a tremendous brocha for Yisrael. Because, firstly, they were able, at that time, all of the Rishei Yisrael, the evil of Yisrael, were eliminated, and they were able to be buried, and Klal Yisrael lost no prestige over it, because no one knew about it. And also, they were able to find out where everything was, and this is what would enable them to go out with Rechush Gadol, with a great wealth. Now this Cheshech, this darkness, how's it possible that it seems it had body? So we see that it wasn't a normal darkness. Now, actually, every makkah, every plague was reaching higher and higher and higher. This one reached all the way to the Ma'aris, to the sun and to the stars, where they had no more power. The next makkah would reach even to the Nefesh HaAdam and the Nishmas HaAdam, because it was the Makkas Becheiris that would kill all of the firstborn. But if you just prevent the sun and the stars from shining, you're not going to get a darkness. You're going to get a lack of light. But you're not going to get a darkness that actually has volume to it. Av Kedina, that had the thickness of a large coin. That people, if you were standing, you couldn't sit. And if you were sitting, you couldn't stand. If you were crouched, you couldn't straighten out. And Vayomesh, you could actually feel. Because of that, the Medrash wants to know, what was the source of this darkness? It could not be just the turning off of the sun. The Medrash says as follows. States, Vayet Moshe Eshode al Hashamayim. Moshe stretched out his hand unto the heavens, and there was darkness and afela. Afela, like we mentioned, is a very extreme, heavy darkness. Where did this darkness come from? It's a discussion. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. It's two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda and Mecheshek Shel Malo. It came from the darkness above. Where's the darkness above? Above there's light, not darkness. So where did that come from? I think you better close this window here. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Mecheshek Shel Malo, it came from the darkness above. As it states, Yoshish Cheshek Sishrei, Svivaisav Sukosoi. Until it states a posuk. It's an interesting posuk as to what it means. Yoshish Cheshek Sishrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu places darkness to conceal himself. Svivosav Sukosai. It surrounds him like a sukkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds himself with darkness like a sukkah. And the Medrash calls that Cheshek Shel Malo. That's the Choshech HaElyon. So it's not just turning off the sun, in other words, blocking the sun out. If you block the sun out, an eclipse prevents the light of the sun. But here we're speaking about a darkness that a Kadosh Baruch Hu places around himself like a sukkah. And he says, this is where this darkness came from. This is a Choshech HaElyon, Choshech Shel Malo. Rabbi Nechemya Amar, no. Mecheshek Shel Gehenna. It's a Cheshek HaTachtoin. It came from the lower darkness. Where's the lower darkness? It brings a pasuk from Eov Yud, where it states, Ofel Tzalmovis, it calls Gehenem Ofel Tzalmovis, it calls it by the name of Afelo. So one wants to say that since it states, Vayit Moshe Yodei Al HaShomayim, he took the staff and pointed it towards the heavens, the darkness must have come from there. Another wants to say that since it says Choshech Afela, and Afela is what Gehenna is called, it must be Choshech HaTachta, and it's coming from Gehenna. And then the Medrash brings that. And actually, he wants to bring a proof, because what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu cover his Rishayim with, his evil people, with the darkness of Gehenna? So here he was bringing darkness to Mitzrayim. He would bring the darkness of Gehenna. And then the Medrash brings, where is the darkness of Gehenna written in the Pasuk? Right in the beginning of Bereishis, it states, V'choshech al p'nei tahom. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, it says, Va'oretz ha'yateyo v'vayhu, there was emptiness. The second pasuk, there was emptiness, tohu v'vohu, and there was confusion, mixing. V'choshech al p'nei tohom, and darkness over the tohom. Darkness, the tohom is the depths. This is before Hashem, it seems before Hashem said, well, I don't know, but it says, and there was darkness over the depths. He says, this is the Cheshech, the darkness of Gehenna. Now, what does all this mean? Well, naturally, this is very extremely deep, and we can't understand it all. But the Maral does give an explanation of it. Let's see what he says. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds himself with darkness? The darkness around him is like a sukkah. He said, there's a question. This is a question that is asked by philosophers. It's a question that's asked by philosophers. It's a question that asked not only by philosophers, but it's a question with that all of the Sifrei Nistar, the Sifrei Sod, deal with. It's put in various words, but what it means is as follows. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayihi Or, let there be light. And that was the beginning of the creation. The Maral Lavos says that Or, light, represents Mitzius, something which is real, reality. Actually, today they're coming up with quantum physics and quantum mechanics that there has to be light for some, there must be light for something to exist. If there's no light, the very existence almost becomes nullified. And there's many, many Gemaras like that. But at any rate, in other words, at nighttime, the whole world slows down. And the light that comes from the... In other words, light is not merely a difference if we can see it or we can't see it. Light is a difference in the actual reality of it. Now, the light is the energy that gives it life, even by something inanimate. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayihi Or, that's when creation came into being. What was there before? We would say, if there was no light, there was darkness. There was no reality. This is difficult to say. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Kula Or, Kula Metzius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all reality. And he's all light. So what does it mean that before the world was called into being, nothing existed and there was darkness? How can there be that nothing exists? So the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do something to create a situation of nothingness in order that he could bring about the creation. So this is what the Medrash is referring to here. It states, and this Pasuk in Tehillim, the Pasuk is, Tehillim Yudches, Yoshes Choshech Sisrei, Sviveis of Sukosai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create darkness to surround his place of dwelling, and it surrounded him like a sukkah. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he had to make a darkness because he wanted that there should be a lack of light in which the light that he was going to create now would have a place to come to be. Or we could say it in this expression, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world which was real, he had to remove himself so there would be space. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created darkness which surrounded himself. Now that darkness does not come from an eclipse of the sun. And that's what the Medrash is referring here to as Choshech Shel Malo. It was the darkness that's coming from higher than the sun. And this is where the Choshech, the darkness, came down to Egypt. And that darkness is a different type of darkness than merely an eclipse of the sun. And therefore, it turned into this darkness, which actually had a mimashesh, a mamoshes, an actual thickness to it. That's the opinion of one in the Medrash. The other says no. It came from Choshech HaTachton. Came from a darkness from down below. There's a darkness of down below that is not only because the sun doesn't reach there. Gehenna is called Eifel. It's called darkness. It's not because it's like a mine underground and no sun reaches there. That's darkness because the sun doesn't come. But this was another darkness that, because the world could not be perfect, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, because of the Avedis of all of the people, of many of the people. So this left part of the world where no light was ever created for. And this is that darkness. This is the darkness of Gehenna. So the other says that it, and this is what it means, Cheshech al Penei HaTohom. There was darkness in the depths. This is where the Choshech came from. So that's the discussion in the Medrash. Where did this darkness come from? Now we'll go to the Makkos Becheiros. In Perek Yud Aleph, Vayimah Hashem al Moshe, On negech Oravi al Parai, Val Mitzrayim. I have one more plague to bring on Paray. And after that, he'll send you out completely. He'll chase you out of the land. And then Hashem says, speak to, first tell the nation to make sure to borrow whatever they can from the people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Cheno Om grace of the nation in the eyes of the Egyptians, like we just saw. And Moshe told Paray, "Kayamar Hashem, kachatzesa laila ani yetsa b'seich Mitzrayim. At midnight, I will go out through Egypt to meis kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, and every firstborn in Mitzrayim will die. Mi b'chor Paray yishiv al kisei ad b'chor ashipcha. From every extreme, from the firstborn on the throne, that's Paray, although." It means ad vele ad bechlal. He wasn't included. He's going to be saved for a while. But from the firstborn on the throne until the firstborn of the maidservant. Now later on, the Torah says a little differently. When actually they brought the mark of the plague, the Torah tells us, in Posuk Choftes, Shishi, Vahi Bechatzi Alayla Vashem Hiko Kol Bechor Beetz Mizraim, Bechor Paray Yeshev Al Kisa Ad Bechor Ashvi, Ashev Bevei Sabor. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the greatest to all the way to the firstborn in the prisons, in the dungeons. Rashi asked the question, why the ones in the dungeons? What did they do? They've been in the dungeons for years. So what did they do? Rashi answers. Now the Shvachais, the maidservant, he answers. Because they enslaved Klal Yisrael also. They used the Hebrews for servants for themselves. But what did the ones in the dungeons do? So Rashi says, "Shoyismechim le'idom shel Yisrael," because they rejoiced through the affliction of Klal Yisrael. When they saw Klal Yisrael becoming afflicted, they were happy over it. Here, in both ends here, from here and from the next Pasuk, we see the tremendous judgment, the Mishpat of Hashem, both in regards to Schar, reward, and Onish. They were all killed because they didn't do anything except they were happy over the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they will also be washed away, wiped away. In the next pasuk, two psukim later, it states, "Ulachol b'nei Yisrael lo yecharatz kelev l'shoinai." To all b'nei Yisrael, not one dog opened his mouth as they went out. L'mishvat behema, from a man to an animal. Now, that's a great miracle. Why? because sometimes when you walk past a home that has dogs, they start to bark and make noise. If you walk sometimes late at night and everything is quiet, and when you pass one home, they start to bark. You pass the next home, the next one start to bark. Soon the whole suburb is barking. And that's one person. Over here they went out, and they started to move. Actually, it seems that at 12 o'clock, they might have started to move all together in one place, Ramses. But they didn't go out of Egypt until the next morning. But at any rate, millions of people marched out. 600,000 men alone, besides wives, children, and older people. And all of the herds, sheep, goats, donkeys, the cattle, and one dog didn't open his mouth. That's a tremendous miracle. But now they were rewarded. Later on, the Torah tells us, "Kol treifa leisechal, lakelav sashlichan leisei," that you should not eat any treifa. If you have an animal that's not kosher, then give it priority to the dogs. Give it to the dog, because ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach chasher shum beria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold the reward of any creature. So here you see the tremendous mishpat that from one side. Even those in the dungeon that didn't do anything, but because they rejoiced in the affliction of Israel, they were wiped away with the Egyptians. And from the other side, the dog that kept his mouth closed, he received forever a reward. We brought it in Shabbos not long ago, but the Rav Shuran, he should be well. He's the Rav in Efrat. He must be close to 90 years old today. He learned in Old Tells. And he's the son-in-law of the late Gaon Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was a Rav in Litta and later on a Rosh Yeshiva in America in Torah V'das. He writes on various Gedalim. He writes on Rabbi Yitzchak Kohen that he heard from Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Kohen was the great governor Rav. He was known as the Pesach of the whole world in his time. He lived in the 1800s, late 1800s. He writes that he heard, it's either from his daughter or granddaughter, that Rabbi Yitzchak Kohen used to take the leftovers from the table and himself go out and give it to the dogs. So you could say, well, he had a love for animals. All right, that he did, but more. You see, this is Ritzei Nishel Mokam. This was the Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Lakelev Sashlichen, I say, you must give them a reward. So this could have been also his intent. He didn't write that. I'm saying this could be his intent. Now, so here we see the tremendous judgment, both ways. Now, Maisha, next Pasuk states, B'yodu kol avadecha ele elai. And all of your servants will come down to me. Maisha is telling Pare. Mishtachavu li, and they will bow to me, lemor, saying, Sei atov v'cholo mashir baraglecha. See, Maisha got very angry here, because Pare refused to submit himself to during all of this time. Incidentally, this whole business took a full year. And Maisha was dealing with this for a full year, Maisha Naran. So he became very angry, and also became angry because Parai became very arrogant and aggressive to him. And Parai told him, he says, go out and stay out, and the next time I see you, you'll die. So he said, you should know that not only we are going to leave, but all of your servants will come to us and beg us to leave. We're not going to go out like Ganovim, sneak out. You will beg us to leave. And you will bow to us. Tzei atov v'cholom asher baraglecha, and take everything with you. And then we will go. V'achrechen etze. V'yetze min pare b'chore off. And then Moshe turned around, he turned, and he went out from Pare in the heat of anger. Now here's also something. Because the Chazal asks, why does it say, Vayerdu chol avodecha? All of your servants will come down to us. Pare also will come. Pare got up in the middle of the night. And he was States Pare. And he ran around town asking, where does Moshe live? He didn't know Moshe always came to him. Where's Moshe live, Moshe Naren? So Pare himself went. So why didn't he say, you also will come? So consistently, Rashi brings that Moshe always spoke to Pare with the greatest respect. But here also, Chola Kovet Lamalchu, Shahare Besef Yore Pare Be'atzma Eilav Belailo, Be'omakum Mutsu Umitecha Mi. Ve'lei Oma Le Moshe, Mitchila Ve'yoradeta Eilai V'shtacha V'iso Li. He should have told Pare, you will come to me and you will bow to me. Didn't tell him that, even though that's what was going to happen. Why? Because he gave kovod lamalchus. He gave honor and respect because Pare still was a king. And we're obligated to give a king honor. Now, here Moshe was in the heat of anger. And Pare was cursing him. And he was insulting him. And he was machalo shem shemaim, desecrated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and the whole world. Still, he spoke to him with dignity and respect. Even now. Chol HaKovod LaMalchus. Before it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, that's how you must speak to a king. So you see how important it is, the quality that a person must act with respect and dignity and derech eretz in every situation. That's what we see from there. There's much to elaborate on that, but we don't have time now. Then it states, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayema Hashem al Moshe, Leishma Aleichem Pare. Pare won't listen to you. Even though you warn him that this is going to happen and tell him everything, he won't listen to you. And I will see that he won't listen to you. I'll harden his heart. In order that I can have an opportunity to bring my wonders to Egypt. Now here we can ask, why did he still want to harden his heart? We already finished the plagues. This is the last plague. So leave him already. The purpose of hardening his heart so he could, Kodesh Baruch Hu could bring more plagues. But now we're holding by the last plague. So leave him. And maybe you're afraid he might do tshuva, even though it won't be a tshuva, it's only by force. And then Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't be able to make the Bakis Becheiris, the smiting of the firstborn. But even at the smiting of the firstborn, he wasn't killed. Still didn't kill him. Now, it states that Rashi brings, Maifsai, he says, I want him to see my wonders. Maifsai Shnaim Rebesh Shlesha. Rebesh Maifsai. I want him to see the Makas Becheiris. If I don't harden his heart, all right, he'll back off now and I'll never have a chance to show him that. I want to show him the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, so I won't even be able to kill him at the Makas Becheiris. And I want him to see Lenares Mitzrayim, what I do to Egypt, where I drown them all in the ocean. Now the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu insist on keeping Pare alive for that also? Right, he already squeezed him quite a bit. He saw quite a bit. So why was he so adamant? He must stay alive to see the Makas Becheiris. I can't kill him otherwise with the Makas Becheiris, because otherwise he won't see it. I want him to see it. And I want him to see the splitting of the sea. And I want him to see the drowning of the Egyptians. Now, all right, we could say those were great, which was true, those were even greater wonders. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in the beginning, called Maifsai. I'm going to show him all of my wonders. Those are even greater. Right, that we could see. We could say, another reason, if Pare dies now, or if Pare dies at the sea, he'll only see what we've done to him. I want him to see what I do to Pare ve'amai and his whole nation. I want him to witness that. And on the sea, Firstly, Kol Sus Parai, Kol Rechev, his whole nation, the elite division was wiped out. See, this was the elite division that he brought. All his chariots and his commanders and his best horses, they were all wiped out. But what about the rest of Egypt? If we look later in Parshas B'Shalach, it seems, I haven't seen this in the Medrash, it might be there, but it seems like all of Egypt was wiped out. Because it states, in Pasuk Chof Hei, Shmai Shudal in Pasuk Chof Hei, as they were crossing the sea, by Yosar Eis Eifan Markevesov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the wheels of their chariots, Vayinahagehu Bichvedus, and they were dragging in the mud of the seabed, Vayem Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim said, Anusa, Mibnei Yisrael, we are Anusim. What's happening to us is beyond our total control from Yisrael. Ki Hashem nilchom lehem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fighting on their side, b'Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Why did they say b'Mitzrayim in Egypt? They're fighting on their side. We're talking in the sea now. They weren't in Egypt anymore. And that, Rashi brings, b'Mitzrayim, b'Eretz Mitzrayim, Kishem shalom elu lokim alayom kach lekim esom shenisharu b'Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he destroyed the armies at the sea, he destroyed all of those that remained in Egypt. So it would seem from there that the whole country was wiped out. Therefore, although we see there were still Egyptians left after that, but this would seem so. What we could say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to kill him. He wanted him to witness Parei v'chol Amai, that he with the whole nation is going to be wiped out. But there's a further reason. And this has a source in the Medrash. We brought this a couple of weeks ago. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use this ploy consistently? Tell Parei that you're going away for 3 days, and after that you'll return. And the same thing, borrow from the people all their vessels and their precious things, and then they'll be under the impression you'll bring it back to them. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do that for? What's the strategy in that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't take them out outright. So the Medrash says, because had he taken them out outright, then the Egyptians would have died in Egypt. By taking them out with the impression that they're going to return in 3 days, when they see that they don't return, then they will go after them. And this will draw the Egyptians into the sea, and he'll be able to kill Parei and the Egyptians in the sea. And he said, I must kill them that way. Because kol midasim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mido keneged mido. All of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deeds is that he gives to the person exactly what that person did. The tevel hara, if a person does something good, he gets that back in the same manner. Something bad, he gets that back in the same manner. And it was Parei and his nation that were throwing the children of the Hebrews into the river. So therefore I must destroy them by water. And therefore I can't kill Parei now. Because if I kill Parei now, it won't be mido keneged mido, a measure for a measure. And therefore I have to leave him so I can kill his entire nation and him with the waters. One final point. (Clears throat) when we see that almost all of these plagues, if not all, at least most of them, doesn't mention it by everyone, some, but it seems they were all executed with the mata, with the staff. Actually, later on, it's brought that, you see, some places it just says, stretch out your hand. So there, the discussion, did he use the staff or not? But actually, I believe later on, it might say by the sea, that there were people that said the staff could only bring destruction. So when it came to splitting of the sea, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to show that it could bring good things also. But at any rate, we see the staff was used consistently. What was the purpose of that? Why all the time the staff? And there could be many deep reasons into it. There's all kind of Sisrei Torah into what was the staff. It states that it was made out of sapphire, sapir. And it was very, very heavy. And it had all of the osius, the letters of the 10 plagues on it. And it states that that staff was brought down to Egypt by Yaakov. And now, 1 minute. It's brought that staff came from Orma Rishon already. And it went through a whole series of changing hands. And then it's brought that Yisro had it. And he put it in his garden and nobody could take it out. And Moshe took it out when he came there. But also seems to have a connection with Yaakov and Yosef, at any rate. But why all the time with the staff? Can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it without the staff? Then we see something else. When Hashem told Moshe, this is in Parsha Shemos, go to Pare. And he said, take this staff that you had in your hand. Moshe had the staff then. Vayashlichei ha'atzo, throw it down v'yil nochesh, and it became a serpent. So he said, go to Pare and show him that os. Show him that wonder. Later on, the Torah tells us that this was what he showed Pare. And when he did this, he threw down the staff, and it became a nochash, a tanim. Then it states, just looking here, then it states that all the Chatumei Pare, his sorcerers, were able to do the same thing. Here it's in Shemos, in Va'era, Pasuches. Va'era, Zain, Pasuches. Va'yema Hashem al Meisha v'aren le'mor, ki yedaber aleichem Pare le'mor tenu lechem eifes. Pare says, why should I believe you? Let me see if you're a wonder maker. V'mate al arein. So tell arein, kach es matcha, take your staff, v'ashlech lifnei Pare, throw it down to Pare, before Pare, yilas anin. And it'll turn into a serpent. So this is what they did. V'yuka gampar l'chachomim u'vilam chashvim. Pare left. He said, what, you're coming to Egypt, which is the world headquarters of sorcery, and teaching us tricks here. He called in his own sorcerers, and with sorcery they did the same thing. But there was a difference. But his staff went and swallowed up theirs. Now, it says, Vayivla mate arein. Didn't say his snake swallowed up their snakes, but his staff swallowed up his snakes. Me'ache shechoze v'nase mate boles kulan. His staff turned back to become a staff from a snake. This was Aaron. And then the staff went and ate up theirs. Now, what was all of this? So the Maral says something very interesting. The Chazal tell us that Parai, which is true with many tyrants, world tyrants, they become so powerful, and this brings so much arrogance that they start to look at themselves as a divinity, divine. Some say they have superpowers given to them by God. Others say they're God themselves. And they start to believe in themselves. And this is true with many. Nebuchadnezzar, Ahasuerus, Hitler, Yimach Shemam, and so forth. States Amparai, who was tremendously mighty, because Yosef, who didn't live very long before, Yosef was the all-powerful king of the entire world. It says the famine stretched through Kolo Oretz, and Yosef was Malakit Kol Kesef Shebaylam. He gathered in all the wealth of the whole world. And Parai inherited this from Yosef. So he was a world, and the Medrash from Rabbi Akiva states that Yosef ruled over the entire world. So he was a monarch, possibly over the entire world. And he believed in himself as the God of the world. And the Chazal bring that he styled himself as the Nochosh, as the serpent. And he would say, Ani Yo'ori, the river is mine. All brocha was brought to Egypt. All wealth was brought to Egypt because of the Nile River. And he would say, that's mine. Ani Yo'ori. There's some possibilities that possibly near the river there were great pyramids of these paris. And it could be even with serpents. And this is what it would depict. Now, according to the Chazal, the greatest creature next to man that was created was the serpent. The lowliest creature that was created, this is not for dog lovers, was the caliph, the dog. Of all of the animals in Chayas. It's true that dog is man's best friend. See, there is a Maral that speaks about that. Why is he? Does he have such love for his master? But nevertheless, he's considered on the bottom of the pyramid. The top of the pyramid was the serpent. How can we say the serpent was the greatest creature? It states, the serpent, while they were in Gan Eden, the serpent walked upright. And that's why the serpent wanted. He wanted to kill Adam. And he wanted to take Chava. Ein giba miskane la begiba kemaisai. People don't worry about something that's not in their league. You see? And this was in the serpent's league. And it states that every creature was created to go on all fours. As a sign is that they were subservient to man, who was the only one that was created to walk upright, with the exception of the Nochash of the serpent. He was created to become the king of all of the Chayas, of all living beings next to man. And then man would be his king. But went to his head. He wanted to rule the world. No matter what a person is given, he wants to go up one more step. Want the world to. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to cut your legs off. I made you to stand up upright. That's what the Midrash says. You'll crawl lower than all animals. You crawl on your belly. So the serpent was the Melech. Now, even though he was cut down, some of that Malchus still remained with him. Where do we see that? Because a king casts fear over all of the subjects. Everyone's afraid of a snake. Man, even man's afraid of a snake. Women, afraid. And all animals are. When they see a snake, they don't start up. It's a danger sign. Also we see it because it states that Melach Poratz Geder. Actually, the kingship of Yehuda came through Peretz. Peretz means Paratzto, to burst forth. And Peretz was the one who burst forth. He was supposed to be born second, but he pushed the other one away and came out first by Peretz and Zerach. And Poratz, Paratzto, says who Paratzto in all directions. Poratz means to spread out in all directions. That's the quality of a king. Why? Because a king has the license to go wherever he wants. By us, we have to stick to the road signs. You can drive here, you can drive there. This is a one way, this is going north, this is going south. You see. A king comes along, they can close off all the roads and he goes whichever way he wants. Or you can't. You can walk here, but you can't walk there because it belongs to someone else. No, a king is paid together, it states. A king can go in all directions. If you'll notice that the serpent never goes straight. He easily changes directions in all directions. And he never sticks to the path or to the road. He's got his own way he's going. And he goes through all Gvulim. So, therefore, we see that some of the Malchus still remained in him. But he represents the Malchus Arasho. No. The king of evil. Before, he could have been the Melech HaTov. He represents the king of evil. And Parai had styled himself, rightly so, after the serpent. Now, the staff is used, the stick is used to hold someone at a distance. And it states that you control a dog with a stick. In Yiddish, there's an expression, Ahin versteht der Stich. A dog understands a stick. Look, today, most of our dogs are pretty tame. But in Europe, there were very vicious dogs. And the best weapon against them was the stick. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Parai. Take the staff and let him know who he is. He thinks he's the serpent that rules the world. I will destroy him like you destroy a dog. The serpent was on top of the pyramid. The dog was on the bottom. And therefore he says, whatever you do to him, and it states that Aaron used to hold the stick up at him. Okay? A king, are you going to hold the stick up at me? That's why he said, take the stick, do everything with the staff, throw the staff down, and it'll become a serpent, theirs will become serpents. Then your serpent will turn back into a staff, into a stick, and will swallow up their serpents. And with a stick I will destroy him. Because in his eyes he might be the mighty serpent, in my eyes he's the caliph, he's the dog. This is an explanation of that. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.